This here. I'm trying to rearrange my screen. All right, here we go. This is good. I'd like for you to open to Ephesians chapter 1. The Epistle to the Ephesians chapter 1. That's where we're going to start. We're going to cover some familiar verses this morning, but it's with an eye to paying attention to a particular word and how it's used. And it's a word that's translated, it's the word for age or ages. And understanding that really helps to open up some of the scriptures. It is a little tricky when you read it in God's word because they've translated the word meaning age. It's the Greek word aeon or aeonios for ages. And they've translated it. They've translated it forever. They've translated it everlasting. It is many, many, many times translated world. And there is there are other words for the word world. Cosmos is one I think many are familiar with. But the word aeon means age. And it's a period of time rather than a place. It is not necessarily an infinite period of time, but rather a period of time. We'll see, we're going to consider some scriptures today concerning this age, the age that we live in. This age that we live in is going to come to an end. For you and I, this age will come to a drastic change with our gathering together, which we're going to look at this morning. But when you understand some of these things, you really appreciate what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. And it also will open up some scriptures in the Gospels, things that Jesus Christ taught regarding what it was that he was fulfilling. And so we'll see how far we go with it. But this morning I wanted to cover just some of the basic things. So to do that, I want to begin in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're just going to read this together. Beginning in verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places or in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, or in the beloved one, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein, referring to this grace, his grace, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in, and it should read Christ, which he hath purposed in Christ. We're going to come back to this, but I want you to remember this, because when we close, we're going to consider another scripture. That talks about this very same thing in a little more detail, which he purposed in Christ, that in the dispensation or in the administration of the fullness of times, it's a future time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, on earth, even in him. Now, we're going to refer back to this in a few moments. But there's a day coming, and this was God's purpose. Let's pick it up in verse 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed. This is done. I believe it was last week or maybe the week before. You know, we read in Hebrews, we are enrolled. This is done. We're enrolled for that joyous festivus. Or how's that? What's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, it's a joyous occasion of being gathered together. Festive, that's it, not Festivus. That's a fake holiday. Anyway, whereof, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding or of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches, or what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, or toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, or his ability to prevail, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The word for world here is that word for age. Not only in this age, but in those to come. It sort of echoes what we read in verse 10, making all things, bringing all things together in Christ, in him, according to his purpose, according to the purpose of God. So he is seated far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Then verse 1 of chapter 2. And you, hath he quickened, or you can not read the italics. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according, and then the King James reads, the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The word for course is the word for age, or aeon. Okay. This opens up with our being born dead. And this is referring to Adam's transgression and the fulfilling of what God said, is that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the life that Adam lost was spirit. It was spirit. Because of Adam's transgression, all are born dead. They're born dead. without spirit, without the life that comes from God. So that's what it's referring to here. But then it says, you walked according to the age of this world, or this worldly age. You could translate this or understand it as, you walked according to this worldly age, according to the prince or the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now, this ruler of the air that's being referenced here, we're going to look at in a moment, but it's that spirit which is working in the children of disobedience. The disobedience here is not believing on God's Son, Jesus Christ. Hence, the children of disobedience are those who refuse or reject the Christ. So it says again, we walked according to this worldly age. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. Oh, I'm sorry. I want 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I wrote down the... I thought that as soon as I said it. No. I want to start in verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost or are perishing, in whom the God of this age, the word world is this age, it's this age that we live in, and we're not going to look at it today, but the age that we live in, it began with the fall of man and God's pronouncement in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's when this age began. So here in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds, or the thinking, or the thinking process of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image or the representation of God, should shine unto them. It's the God of this age, and the God of this age is Satan. And it's Satan that has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the gospel regarding Jesus Christ should shine in their hearts. That Satan, the God of this world, is that spirit working in the children of disobedience, those who do not believe or those who reject the Christ. And it is the God of this age, or the God of this time, that is also being referenced in Ephesians 2, that age, or that worldly age that we used to walk in, that we were a part of before we called on the name of Jesus Christ. Once somebody calls on the name of Jesus Christ, we belong to God. We are in Christ. And we're delivered from that. We're delivered from the exercised power of darkness. It's really remarkable, you know, what we have now, but it is nothing compared to what is going to happen one day. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. Ephesians. You know, just as sort of an aside, Ephesians chapter 6. The word cosmos is translated world, and it can mean the people in it. It can be used in a figurative way, meaning the people in it. It can mean the order of the world, or the world's arrangement. Um, One thing to realize, and maybe we'll look at this scripture next week. It's Gospel of John. I just don't remember exactly where it is. But there was a great change that took place in the arrangement, the order of this world. Satan, the adversary, is the God of this age. But Jesus Christ is seated far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but in those to come. All that Jesus Christ has accomplished is not realized at this time. But because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished, we have had much made available to us. Because we are in Christ, because we belong to the Most High God by seed. Isn't that awesome? And that's a change. See, that's a change that resulted with Jesus Christ ascending to the Father. Ha! Pretty neat. And then the giving of Spirit on Pentecost. Again, by Jesus Christ's accomplishment, that kingdom of God could begin. See? It's really tremendous. But Ephesians chapter 6. Seems like we've read this verse a lot lately, but we're going to read it again today. Verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world," the chief ruler being the devil, being Satan. "Against the rulers of the darkness of this world" is the word age. "Against spiritual wickedness in high places," from on high. Again, sometimes it looks like flesh and blood, but it's not. There is a God of this age. There is an adversary. There's a deceiver. He's the great accuser. But we're equipped. We're equipped, and our Lord is seated far above his name, certainly, and every name that's named. But that's the age that we live in right now. And we have to, you know, we of necessity have to contend with some of these things. But we're fully equipped to do that with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. I want you to turn, please, to Romans chapter 12. I know these are all really familiar verses to you guys, but it's important stuff. It's just important to realize and to remind ourselves of. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, yourselves, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this age." Okay? Be not conformed to this age. This age is a worldly age. This age is greatly affected and influenced by God's archenemy, the adversary, the devil, Satan. See? We're not to be conformed to the way of thinking of this age. That's not how we think. And how thankful we can be for that. You know, and I hear you guys say it too, but I get so thankful for what we know. I get so thankful for the Word of God. People that don't have the Word of God, or they don't know God's Word, they don't know what Jesus Christ has done. You know, just how they have to deal with some things. It's remarkable. And that's what we have to offer to people. But when I read this verse, that's what I think of. I thank God. I know God's Word. You know? I don't read this anymore. So I got to renew my mind. No, it's just, I'm so thankful that we have this. It's just amazing. what God's done for us. And be not conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that beautiful? See? So we're not to be conformed to this age. I want to go to another verse, another one that we're familiar with in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. So this age that we live in, it began with God kicking Adam out of the garden with his promise of a coming Redeemer. As a result of Adam, who was second in command to God, handing over that authority to God's archenemy, the devil, the adversary, Satan. The age that we live in began then. Here in Philippians chapter 2. Oh, man. Let's start in verse 13. This is a hard chapter to find a place to start. It's all so good. But verse 13, for our purposes, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So do all things without murmuring, without grumbling, without disputings, that," verse 15, "you may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse age." This is a crooked and perverse age. "Among whom you shine as lights in the world." Isn't that something? Then it says, the King James reads holding forth, but it should read holding the word of life. Holding the word of life. "That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." See? We hold that word of life. And when we hold that word of life, that means in our hearts. That means in our thinking. See? We shine as lights in this dark and perverse age. And we do. We do shine its lights. We can bring peace to a life. We can bring eternal life to a life. Okay? We can bring love to a life. All of those things, because we hold on to God's word. Isn't that remarkable? So in this dark age, and it is a dark age, it's pretty wacky sometimes, we shine as lights because we have God's word to hold on to. I just think that's so awesome. I want to go back to Ephesians, and we're going to read just a few more verses in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. We left off at verse 2. I'm going to read it again. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the age of this world," or this worldly age, "according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," or our manner of living, "in times past, in the lust of the cravings of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." That's all we had. "And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That children of wrath are children destined for wrath because they're children of disobedience, those who reject Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened," or made us alive together, "with Christ. by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places or in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That, verse 7, that, the purpose, that in the ages to come, and in the Greek it's plural, in the ages to come, he might show or exhibit or demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, and it should read, in Christ Jesus. His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, this kindness that is going to be displayed to us is for the, it'll happen through the ages, plural. We're going to revisit that in sort of a summary way here in just a moment. But when you read this verse, it's one of those verses where it's just, you know, you read it, and when you really think about and consider what that means, it's one of those, because this is going to happen for the ages left. And there are some ages left. The age in which we live, for us, for those who have believed on Jesus Christ, will take a drastic turn with our gathering under our Lord Jesus Christ. In effect, there'll still be an adversary. There will still be some crazy things happening in the world, on the earth, but you and I will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And we will be brought by our Lord Jesus Christ into the very presence of God. Isn't that something? I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're just going to read this, and then we're going to go to Hebrews and close. 1 Thessalonians. Boy, I love looking at this stuff. We're going to start in verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And asleep here is used for those who have died, for those who have fallen asleep. "That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I can't envision having no hope. I don't want to. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout," a summoning shout, "and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." So shall we ever be with the Lord. That verse that we read in Ephesians 2:7, this is when this begins for us, for you and I, and for all those who have called on the name of Jesus Christ. See, that will be the beginning of his displaying his kindness toward us. But you know what's really neat? You know what's really neat? In this age, God displays his kindness to us. Doesn't he? Absolutely. We have a loving and a gracious God. See? You know, and we go to our Heavenly Father, and he hears our prayers. He answers us. He blesses us. We've got so many blessings so many times, we can't keep up with it. It's just, we've got so much to be thankful for. I want to go to Hebrews, please. That Ephesians chapter 2 is a it's a powerful description of the ages to come. That in the ages to come, he will demonstrate, he'll show, he'll exhibit his grace to us and his kindness. Those ages to come are going to include the gathering of the church, of the one body of Christ. You know, it's going to include that time when Jesus Christ returns to the earth and sets things up on this earth. We're going to be with him. And during that time, God's grace will be displayed to us in his kindness. Isn't that just remarkable to think about? It includes the time when Jesus Christ carries out judgment. We're going to be with him. All of these different things that are going to take place. Jesus Christ's time when he reigns in this earth, we're going to be with him. And during that time, God is going to display his grace to us in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's just remarkable. So it includes a lot of times that are coming up. But I want to go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to read the first two verses here. And the King James reads, God, who at sundry times or various times or in various segments of time and in diverse or various ways spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And we're going to see here in this context that this time past is before Jesus Christ. He spoke by way of prophets in many various ways. Sometimes it's what they did. You can read Isaiah, Jeremiah, things that God told them to do that would prophesy regarding Israel. It was in their speaking. It was in different ways, but it was by way of the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by or through his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So I'm going to take a minute with this verse. That time past is before Christ. The word appointed, whom he hath appointed, it just simply means that he's been placed, or it's to place, and he's placed his Son as heir of all things. This is pretty cool. The word by whom also he made the worlds, the word by can also be translated through. And it would be understood better if it were translated through here. The word made is a word that means to make, it means to form, to frame, to make ready, to prepare. Okay? So it has that mean to it, to prepare or to frame something. The word world is the word ages, and it's plural. It's plural in the Greek. It's ages. Isn't that something? It is through Jesus Christ and his accomplishments that God was able to frame or to prepare the ages to come. He accomplished all that was necessary for God to do. It was his purpose. See, it was his purpose. Those accomplishments include the redemption of what Lucifer did, as well as redeeming for God the loss that was caused by Adam. Jesus Christ accomplished all that. And because of Jesus Christ, God is building. See? And he is preparing those ages. See? Because of what his Son accomplished. It's breathtaking to think about what the obedience of Jesus Christ wrought for God to be able to do. It's pretty amazing. So let's just read these verses and then we'll close with verse 3. It says, God, who at sundry or various segments of time in many ways, various ways spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days, these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, through whom he prepared the ages. Verse 3, talking about his Son, who, being the brightness of his glory and express image, a representation of his person or of his essence, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, or it should read, when he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And that right hand is the hand of power, but it's also the hand of blessing. See? Jesus Christ did this, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty, the right hand of God. Isn't that remarkable? So it is by way of our Lord's accomplishments that opened the door for God to prepare the ages to come, during which he is going to display his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So when you read that verse, just think about that. Just take a sip of coffee and just think about that. Because it's coming. Okay? So I'm going to close with prayer. So gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your goodness to us, for your love to us.